I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast. Guess what? It's almost winter.
I know. We've had a really exciting day today.
Winter is coming.
It's almost winter. It's still autumn.
Yes.
Autumn. And we recorded with Dan Savage today.
Dan motherfucking Savage.
It felt like we were hanging out with a friend.
I was just so stoked. Today was us and his show. And then he is guesting on our show tomorrow. But tomorrow does not mean anything to y'all except that you'll hear that episode in December. And we're so excited. And yes, he is as awesome as he sounds on air.
He's so cool. Yeah. And then we had an interview with the Good Times about our book.
Yeah.
Which is a local Santa Cruz publication, which we love. We were on the cover back in 2018 for Valentine's Day. And it was just really cool to be on another interview session with Good Times.
We're back. And then we also guested on the I Do podcast. So,
that was fun.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things over here. And it is a lovely time in Shameless Sex World. We just did our Topless and Tapas book launch party in San Francisco. And it was awesome. And I will just say, this is my only complaint. The whole, APEC? Joe Biden and the president of China, whatever.
Yeah, we're not going to get it right. But the president of China, the president of Vietnam, I think they're called the president right now. I don't know.
All the humans were meeting.
They were all meeting and Joe Biden was there. So all the news media that was going to cover our book launch party.
Our topless book reading. They went to go see Joe Biden instead of us. Which Joe I'm Biden. Like, really? You went to see Joe Biden instead of us?
But the good news is we're going to do more book tour stuff. Right now, it's nearing the holidays in the U.S. So Thanksgiving, and then we're moving on to the holidays of Christmas and Hanukkah and then New Year's. So it gets really tricky for book tour stuff. But we are going to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we are.
December. So we're going to do December 8th in Salt Lake City.
Yep, at Blue Boutique at the Sugar House location. We love Blue Boutique. If you live in Salt Lake City and you have not gone to Blue Boutique, you must go because it's one of our favorite adult stores.
Amy and I have been there. This is probably not even for Shameless Sex. Even before that, we've been to their holiday party. Remember back in the day?
They're fun.
They're so fun.
They don't have fun.
And welcoming, beautiful sex shop. They have a few of them. We're going to be at the Sugar House location, 6 to 8 p.m.
And so we are teaching a mini workshop, but it's a mini workshop meets event. So also a book signing. It's How to Have Shameless Sex, like April said, Friday, December 8th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Sugar House. Tickets include a copy of our book and a signing by yours truly.
A hardcover.
Yeah. And if you would like to learn more, go to our show notes wherever you're listening to this podcast. There's a link there to go and sign up and buy your ticket. The last couple events we've done there have sold out.
I do want to just highlight the fact that it's a small venue. So if you are in the Salt Lake City area or you have the means to travel there and you're excited to hang out with us, please buy a ticket because I don't remember exactly how many. It's not very many seats in the house. In Blue Boutique Sugar House. So Friday, December 8th, that's 2023, 6 to 8 p.m. Go to our link. You might be able to go to blueboutique.com, but just check out shamelesssex.com and our show notes.
Yes, exactly. And if you've not purchased our book yet, it is out. It's officially out. You can get our book today. You can get it on any place that books are sold. So we have Amazon, we have Barnes & Noble, we have bookshop.org. You can go to your local bookshop, and if they don't have it, you can request it and support your local bookshops because they need that. And our book is the book that we wish we had when we were 18, 28. I'm 38 now, and I'm glad I have it, and I will continue to read it in my 40s, 50s, and 60s, even though I wrote it.
It's also not a one and done. You can go to it again and again and again and again.
It is a choose your own pleasure path guide. guide to unlock the sex life you've been waiting for.
I want to say we wrote the book.
Yes.
And I have been over the book multiple times, and I'm now listening to the audible version,
which we kind of did a pretty good job.
Which we did a great job, but I'm not getting bored of the content.
Me too. And so I want to say one thing about this. I like reading our book, and that's not just because I'm cocky, but I'm a little cocky, but I like reading our books. I'm really proud of what we did. But listening to the audio version, which was like really scary for me because I do not like reading word for word out loud.
Your voice was so, it was sexy. It was extra.
But I feel like our humor lands really well, and we're kind of designed for microphones. So just here's our ask of all of you. Buy both our Audible book, and you can listen to it while you're driving. And this just means you're going to download in your brain, I mean, more shameless sex information and the hardcover. And if you do one or the other or both, please write reviews for us wherever you purchase that book, whether it's audio or the actual hardcover, because the reviews also help us. So your purchases and the reviews help us to grow and get the good word of shameless sex out there to the world.
Well, there's so many books out there, y'all. It only helps more folks find that don't listen to podcasts find shameless sex.
Yeah. And the reviews take like, it takes like a minute.
It doesn't take
any time. You have time.
So however you buy the book, please submit a review. That really does. It's so important. It just brings us higher when people search for books that they want. I do that same thing on Audible.
Yeah.
I look at the books that are people are recommending.
Yeah.
And so I haven't reviewed our book yet, which I need to. Have you?
I have not, no.
Well, we need to.
I know, but I felt like a little bit of a fraud because I wrote
the
book.
But we're not a fraud.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
All right.
Of our book.
I'm a fan of you.
I'm a fan of you.
Oh my God, then that makes perfect sense. I'm totally going to write a review for you.
Okay.
I don't know about that Amy bitch, but April's really fucking awesome. So, but seriously though. Okay, ready for a sex question? This is a fun, lighthearted sex question.
I don't even know it yet. I'm going in not knowing.
Playful question from an avid listener here. So you're heading off to your ultimate sexy vacation and you can only bring 3 sex toys. What would they be? Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, we had this on Sex with Emily's podcast, but they cut it because our podcast was really long with them when we were guests on her show. And I was like,
and it was always the
desert
island.
Stick of gum. And it's just like a MacGyver joke.
So I like that this is written about your ultimate sexy vacation, because when someone says a desert island, I'm like, I need things for survival. But I want to be more realistic about things that just bring me pleasure that I really like.
It'd be difficult to try to have pleasure if I was worried about what I was going to eat on a desert island.
Ooh, or what if you're hungry, but then you just bait to like bypass your hunger?
I mean, maybe that could work for a while. So that isn't this question, which I love.
You're not breatharian. You're a baitarian.
Well, we're gonna have to go ahead and Google that one.
I don't think,
but that is in our book.
Or anyways, what are your 3 sex items that you would bring on your ultimate sexy vacation?
So only 3. I consider obviously lube an important one.
Uber lube.
Definitely, you could use that for moistening your skin.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's an ultimate sexy vacation, maybe it is in a tropical place where skin wouldn't be so dried out like a desert island.
Yeah, just think of like your ultimate sexy vacation.
I'm not gonna overthink this because I will overthink it.
Yeah.
And then I'll create rules.
Okay, no rules.
Okay, so definitely, okay, hot octopus. Well, it's not out yet, but the Pulse Queen.
Ooh,
that is my new favorite.
I like it.
It's so dope. And it's the same color as our book, which I did have a little bit of a say in. However, since that's not available during the launch of this, it will be available in, I believe, February 2024. I would do, so my Vim.
Your Vim wand from Fun Factory?
Yeah.
V-I-M. Yep.
I mean, it is kind of like, you could also club something with that if you wanted to.
If you're trying to survive. But we're in sexy vacation, desert island.
So I wouldn't club anything.
Yeah. Unless your partner's like, please club me.
Then I would club them. So the Vim, how many do I get? 3?
3.
Okay, so you're going to say Uber Lube too, but we can have our own. These are our own. So Vim, Pulse Queen's not out yet, so I can't take that because if I have to leave right now, then it's not available. And I would also take, God, you know what? I would probably take, can you take OMGS?
Yeah, I mean, so you took one of the things I was thinking of, but yes, because it's sex products, right? So you want to teach someone about vulva pleasures, my guess is what you're getting to. Like, you're on a sexy vacation. We didn't ask, this person's not asking the question of like who you're on vacation
with. I'm changing my, if you were going to do OMGS, I'm going to do a cock ring. I'm going to do Adam Plus cock ring.
All right.
I helped design it and I love it. Atom Plus.
With the two motors.
Because if I am hooking up with the penis owner at this sexy whatever.
Is vacay.
It a vacay. If it's an island. I keep going island. But that toy, it helps penis owners last longer. It has such a nice vibration. It has clitoral, like this, like you've seen it.
And you can use it as like a hand vibrator too. Like, I mean, on your hand, yes, to touch other parts
and
of the body.
And Pure Pleasure sells so many of those.
Yeah.
We designed it with a perineum stimulator. So they get, I mean, whoever's using it, couples play, you get like 1, 2, 3, a bunch of points of stimulation, like at least 4.
It's kind of like multiple toys in one, yeah, which is kind of cheating with this question, but I like where your head's at.
Why is it cheating?
Because it's multiple toys. You just brought like 8 toys with that toy.
Oh, I see.
But so, I like it.
Okay, so those are my 3. So I'm not taking OMGS because with OMGS, you have to have...
The Wi-Fi, but you're on a sexy vacation. We're not on a desert island.
Can you download those?
No, but you have to have the internet access to watch it. Okay. So I think on a sexy vacation, OMGS would be awesome because I would be able to have constant inspiration of all these things I could try. Season 1 is all about external stimulation. Season 2 is internal. Season 3 is sex toys. So my whole sexy vacation could be geared towards pleasuring my vulva. I hope my partner is down for that.
Are there going to be a lot of other people at this sexy vacation?
It's up to you to decide. It's okay. Just a sexy vacation.
So that would be even better because you're like, here, these are the ways. Let's experiment.
Let's try this. I want to try edging. I want to try swirls. I want to try G-spot stimulation.
I love it.
Okay, so yeah, OMGS. April orders an Uber Lube. An Uber Lube for me would be a must whether I'm on a desert island, a sexy vacation, or just right now here in our studio. It's with me at all times. It's always
my
purse.
Outer space.
I would bring
I wonder
Uber
what
Lube.
The viscosity is like
of in outer space.
In outer space.
I'll ask the owners of Uber Lube if they've brought it to the moon yet.
Well, now that's a new point that we need to get sorted.
Best lube ever, and also you just need lube on your sexy vacation and all the time. Okay, so my other toy would be, you know, me and my AirPulse technology toys. I love the suction meets vibrator toys, and I'm still currently obsessed and open to learning more about other AirPulse toys. Like, I would love for Fun Factory and Hot Octopus to make one. Just saying.
I thought there was a patent.
No, all these other brands are making them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I know like at least 5 other brands that make them. I just haven't tried
all
of them.
Usually we do something that no one else is doing.
I know. But I love this. My body loves it. So I love the Womanizer Premium 2. I've loved it for the last year or so. What I love about it is the light suction doesn't overstimulate me. I can have orgasm after orgasm and it's still really powerful. And when I'm using it on my body, it's doing its little suction-y thing, making some sounds. But when I move it away from my body, it just turns off on its own. But when I put it back on my body, it's ready to go again. So I can use it during sex and then set it aside for 10 minutes, use it again, set it aside. I love it
my
so much.
My friend just sent me one that's waiting.
The premium too?
Yes.
Oh, by women? Oh.
Yeah. Because he was asking me, he wanted a hot octopus toy and we do tradesies. And so I was like, okay, I want to revisit this because I had one and I give them away if I don't feel like it's for my body.
Yeah.
And so the OG Womanizer, I tried.
Yeah, the old school
one.
And so
he sent me one and it's in the box and it's waiting.
Yeah. Well, and so we have this rule for ourselves. You don't have to follow it. But when you try a sex toy, if you're a hard no, when you try a sex toy and you're like, this doesn't work for me, I'm a hard no, then go with that. But if, you know, the first time you're like, it didn't really work, give it a second or third try because sometimes it just takes time for your body to acclimate to it, especially if you're used to another toy that you've been getting off to. So if you want to try any of these toys on your sexy vacation or a desert island, you can get most of them at purepleasureshop.com. Use coupon code shamelesssex. You get 15% off. If you actually go to purepleasureshop.com right now before December 15th, 2023, I think you get 20% off with a different code. So go do that. OMGS, you go to omgs.com/shameless. You get 10% off. Uberlube, you can go to uberlube.com. Use coupon code shameless10 and you get 10% off and free shipping. All these products that you can find in all these places, and go have your sexy vacation and try it out and have all the orgasms or just the pleasure.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like endless pleasure. And it's time to treat yourself. Holidays always help like everyone else. So you give gifts.
Oh my God. You know what I should do before Thanksgiving?
What?
Masturbate. It's going to make the holiday
like
way
right
better.
Before.
Right before.
All right.
And then masturbate right after as a gift to myself.
Okay.
Because, you know, the holidays can be a little heavy. Yeah. I'll call you while I'm masturbating.
Well.
Chip. Oh, can you do that?
I don't pay attention to my phone in the holidays. People get irritated. They're like, happy Thanksgiving. I reached out. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm like cooking and doing shit. But I will respond when I can.
People hold that to you, like on a holiday when you don't respond?
They
seriously?
Have. People get annoyed on my birthday too.
No, okay. Birthdays, you do not have to respond to people. That's bullshit. I mean, you tell those people I'm mad at them.
I don't, like, I feel like I associate my phone with work, so I don't really look at it that often when I'm not working.
Chip, you almost always respond to me. I think that you're just screening the people you don't want to talk to.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's scratch that. We're going into a bio right now. Yeah. So, double teamed. This was a live podcast that we recorded that
so fucking awesome.
Fun.
I love them so much.
I adore Nikki and Cammie.
You have to check out their podcast, the Double Team podcast.
They're beautiful, but they're also smart and fun. And we had
and
such a
twins.
Good time. And they're identical twins.
And they're both kinky as fuck.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're awesome. So Double Team podcast is on a mission to bring awareness to non-monogamy, kink, and sexuality, and help make these taboo subjects more understood and accepted by our younger generations. Cammie and Nikki love to get honest and vulnerable with their listeners, discussing their experiences in open relationships, dating, dominance and submission, and sex parties. Find them anywhere you listen to podcasts and across your favorite social media platforms. To learn more, visit doubleteamedpodcast.com.
Thank you for having us here. We're so excited to be here with y'all.
And in person, too.
The twin vibes are just, I don't know, for everyone listening, if you have not actually been in their presence, it is hot. Yeah, it's
it
real.
Really is.
Yeah. The AC is on in here, so good thing.
At least we didn't match today.
Oh, I know. I wore my pants that I got in Dubai.
Ooh.
You have matching sandals.
We do.
Which is
half
adorable.
The time we match, though, and like I'll leave my room and then she'll leave her room and we'll see that we're dressed the same. And I'll be like, I'm not changing. Yeah. She'll be like, neither am I. So then we're stuck looking like
you're twice. Like those kids that parents would put in the track pants, like track suits when they have triplets, and they'd all look the same and they couldn't lose them.
Except Cammie was always in pink and I was always in blue.
Yeah.
Do you do that with your partners ever where you want to match them?
In the past.
People are into that.
Daniel and Nate used to kind of match a little bit.
Like intentionally?
No, but they just kind of have the same style.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't match them if you wore a pink tracksuit. You're not going to put your partner or partners in a pink tracksuit?
No.
Okay.
So I have accidentally matched an ex before, once or twice.
Okay.
Would you put your partners in a pink tracksuit?
Fuck yes, I would.
Love that.
Why not?
I get to see
something about pink and like big burly men. I'm like, yeah, that's hot.
Yes. Wait, what are your signs?
Pisces.
Cancer.
Love that.
What about you two?
Water signs, great. We're Libras.
I love it. When's your birthday?
Yours is the same, right? Just gonna.
Yeah, we just had our birthday, October 14th.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
My partner's a Libra and my brother's a Libra.
My mom's a Libra.
Her mom's a Libra.
Oh, wow, really? A lot of Libras in your...
Who was born first, though?
She was.
I knew it.
How do you know? Tell me more.
I just knew it for some reason.
People always think I was born first.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around. They look at me and I'm like the more like, I let my inner child out more. I'm going to say that instead of being like, I'm the more childish one.
I'm the more serious one for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I love water placements.
Yes. Yeah. And because you're all astrology people. So I'm Pisces. And then that's my rising, right? Or sun. That's my sun.
Okay.
Rising, Scorpio, rising, Gemini, moon.
Oh.
Okay, so intuitive.
Yeah, very intuitive.
Or like a little bit like a little all over the place.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you find that your dreams are very vivid and at times like reflect future events?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's like past, present, future.
Yeah, that's Pisces.
And a lot of fucked up shit I've watched on TV that keeps showing up.
Yeah, that's definitely.
And the melatonin when you take too much. It's like,
oh my God.
The dreams
are vivid. Let me tell you about the dream I had the other day that was like, anyways, I was like, how does my brain come up with this? And it's a mix of erotic and fucked up. Mm. I'm a very nice person, everyone. It's my dream space. Fantasies are fantasy space. That's okay.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, how did my brain even come up with this?
Wait, what was it? Now I want to know.
I'll give you just a little hint. It was a robot a lady robot that had a vacuum for an arm and she was trying to like kill a whole bunch of dudes with it. And
was she trying to suck out their semen?
I don't know. She was trying to do a thing.
Yes.
She was trying to do a thing and like hurt them essentially. And then they all, you know, teamed up against her. And you can imagine how that goes in a semi-erotic dream.
Okay.
With a robot that has a USB for a hole.
I'm about to start making some requests for my dreams because that sounds great and a lot better than what I'm dreaming
about. But when I wake up, I'm like, where did that come from?
You should turn these into movies. What are you doing?
You may have been watching maybe too much sci-fi or something.
I don't even watch those.
You don't know, it could be in your subconscious.
Yeah, do you like hentai porn?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Google monster hentai.
No, don't.
It's a bad idea. It could go in weird direction. I dreamt about my ex the other night, but ex that I didn't date, ex that I had an affair with. And then I woke up and my partner and I, he started like kind of sometimes like, kind of kissing the back and like initiating. And I was thinking that it was the dude that I had an affair with. And then I woke up and I was like, whoa. And the guy's French. I was. And I was like, oh my God.
He was French?
Yeah, not my partner now, but the dude.
So French are freaks.
But also like.
I know, I love them.
Yeah. What?
I was going to say, I don't know if
you don't want to share
French dudes.
Oh, French dudes.
You couldn't date French dudes? Or
no, I don't know if I've been with any French dudes, but Nikki's had enough horror stories for me where I'm just like, never mind.
What kind of horror stories?
No, not horror stories. There was one French guy that asked me to have a threesome with him and his sister.
Oh.
And I was like,
okay, all right.
It's been kind of a menage a trois.
Yeah.
Was it by blood sister or are we talking step?
No, by blood. Okay. And apparently
either way.
Apparently they'd done it before. And then when I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, even though I'm bisexual, he was like, what about my cousin who's a dude? And I was like, is this like a thing?
Yeah, it's a family affair.
It's a good question.
You know, you do you, y'all. You do you. That's
but cool. Apparently him and his cousin had also had a bunch of threesomes. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Huh. Yeah. Okay. I would probably be a little weirded out by that as well. Yeah. That has not happened to me in my French connection. Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Not yet.
Wait, I was going to ask you, define affair.
Oh, so I was
feel
married.
Like that can mean to
I
a
was
lot
married.
Of-
yes. Sorry. Okay. I call it an affair because I cheated on my now ex-husband with this person that was like really like my homie. We were such good friends. And then we slowly started, you know, crossing line when there was a little too much, maybe some too much alcohol involved. And then we used to travel together a lot too. So, and then he was also engaged. And so it broke up both of our relationships and we never ended up together. And I'm really for the better of. Everyone.
I was going to say, everything happens for a
reason. For the better.
Yeah. We've all done that at one point or another.
It was a catalyst to, I think my marriage needed to kind of go. So that's why I call it an affair because it was obviously, it was not consensual for my husband, my now ex-husband to be cheated on without talking about the partnership. Mm-hmm. And that was before I even had the podcast and really understood what it meant to like really break someone's heart like that.
So, or be an integrity, like the, what integrity
being
means.
Totally an asshole. But I do think it was meant to be because a lot was birthed out of that cheating.
And that's all in the book,
and
by the way.
Oh,
yeah. So the book isn't our own personal story for the whole book. You know, but it's woven in. And so part of Shameless Sex is shamelessly sharing about ourselves. Well, not just our podcast is not just about us. So that'd be really boring, but trying to share as shamelessly about sex and relationships. And so what we did writing this book, and the book is a choose your own adventure kind of formula. You all remember those books at all? Mm-hmm. Do you ever read those? They're fictional.
Yeah.
You could like, kind you of, could go. Yeah. Track down an abominable snowman.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't get there, or a cliff, you could hang off of a cliff. And then if you died, you could go back and
I've done a show like that. Yeah, yeah.
Ours, you don't do that. There's no abominable snowmans and it's not fiction.
No.
But it's a similar thing. So it's choose your own pleasure path. And it's designed for you. It's like written in past, present, and future, where here's your sex room or relational issue. And instead of us saying, here's the answer, it's what's the outcome that you desire. And if it's this one, go to this page, this one, go to this page. So you get to be the designer, the guide to your own sexual or erotic landscape. And we give you all the tools from all the speakers that have been on our show and people outside of our show as well. But part of it, we had to revisit our sexual histories, which was very interesting. So
and
the affairs.
It was therapeutic too.
Therapeutic. Yeah.
Yes.
And some of it were like, oh, I totally forgot about that.
And also that.
Oh, yeah. That was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
It's part of it though.
But
have you ever hooked up with a cone dick, by the way? A cone dick.
A cone dick?
Yes. Like where a dick shaped like a cone. Have you ever?
Yes.
So yes, I did too. And I didn't revisit that, but I wanted to in the chapter on affairs because dude had a cone dick.
Wait, the guy that you had an affair with had a cone dick?
Cone dick.
What's your stance on a cone
dick? I don't know.
Good for anal, I would imagine, right? Because it's tapered.
It would be tapered. Because then I would actually prefer a
wider
bigger head.
Yeah. Okay.
Or if I'm having anal, because then it's not stretching out as much.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, also,
what
by
if,
the way,
what
I
if it was
differ.
A cone, but then it gets narrow at the end?
Oh.
Like a butt plug.
I thought about, I haven't seen one of those.
Like, narrow the
place. Like, those exist.
I've never seen one of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. First, let's backtrack. Okay. Because I think y'all are the coolest people.
I know. When you said y'all are boring, I was like, I beg to differ. Beg to differ.
I would love to hear nonstop about your sex stories. But I also, like, I've always loved the premise of your show. Just the fact that, like, I feel like you're one of the people who have, like, spearheaded that movement of, like, hey, let's talk about sex and not feel ashamed about it. Mm-hmm. So I look up to y'all. Mm. Like,
thank you. We were trying to listen to an episode today on the way to the airport to come and record with y'all. And Amy was like asking Siri, put on Shameless Sex. And then it was a German podcast, Shameless Banningen. And then the lady started talking. I was like, Amy, did I miss something? Yeah. Like, was this German?
I did just go to Germany and now I'm fluent in German.
I was so confused. I was like, wait, that doesn't sound.
Did you have any fun in Germany?
I had a lot of fun.
Tell them about Portugal.
Love Germans.
Portugal's, you love Germans?
I love Germans.
Really? They're way to the worst lovers in the world.
Really?
Not even joking.
All the German lovers I've had have been
fantastic.
Chefs.
I
had
really?
Butthole licking from the first German I ever hooked up with.
I was
so
offered
did
with someone in Germany to lick my ass without even kissing.
And I did the ass. No, I didn't do the ass. I got the ass licked, but
she
I talked to you about it.
Sweaty, stank ass after dancing at a club.
Yeah, and then the guy. So wait, go on about Portugal though.
Yeah, wait, Portugal, I want to hear about these. But let's
Portugal
hear.
Is awesome. I did not learn German. I did Portugal for fun with the creator of Uberlube, Steven. I don't know if you've met him at a trade show yet, but I know you know Uberlube.
We work with Uberlube. Yeah.
Yeah. You work with Uberlube and they're like, you know, family to me. I love them so much. And then he and I went to Germany for a sex toy trade show, the biggest European sex toy trade show. And Portugal is just gorgeous with like the best weather, so much fun. And, I went on a dating app when I was there. I went on Hinge and I went on a date with someone in Portugal. It was like stunningly gorgeous.
She told me that she was having a date and I was like picturing Portuguese men as super short because I've been to
he's
Portugal,
like 6'3".
But he was super tall. And she's like, I'm going on a Hinge date tonight with a Portuguese man. I was like, really? I was like, first of all, you don't usually dig dudes with accents.
True. Really?
My issue is that when English isn't the first language, it's really hard for, I talk really fast.
Yeah.
And I go, and then I also have a lot of like ridiculous humor that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And so, I'm just explaining a lot of things along the way and like trying to slow down. It's like, this is kind of exhausting.
Yeah.
So yeah, not usually, but yeah, it was nice to say he was a hot man and awesome in so many ways. I think he was interested in me because I put on my profile ethical non-monogamy. And he's someone who's interested in that and says it's really hard to find that with Portuguese women.
Yeah.
And most of the women that he
Latinas
meets.
Latinas don't share.
Yeah. Exactly.
What does that mean?
And yeah. Except you. Yeah. You're a different case. But he said a lot of the people that he meets on dating apps that are into non-monogamy are passing through. They're not like, you know, like I am. They're not people that live there. So anyway, so yeah, it was a good time.
Can you talk about any more of
the sexy times?
Yeah.
So I was going to ask, did y'all?
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you. I got to say this. Okay.
I wasn't trying to out if you want
to. Oh, no, it's fine.
Sure. If you don't want to talk about it.
No, it's fine.
I forgot your ENM.
Yeah, well, I've been with my partner 4 years. We were monogamous, then monogamish, and now we're doing the non-monogamy. So separate experiences
open
and shared experiences.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you say CNM or we say
both,
CNM in the book, but
I just deduced it down to non-monogamy.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Because
just non-monogamy.
It's consensual and it's also ethical, but like, you know, we don't need to differentiate ourselves from cheating. Like it's just non-monogamy.
Yeah. So.
We had someone on the show that didn't correct us. She was just saying the future because there's nothing ethical about having consent in non-monogamy. It should automatically ethical.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be. No. It was Kate Lurie.
Oh, okay.
Lurie.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, no, I agree with them. It's like you have ethics and consent in monogamy. You also have them in non-monogamy. You don't have to put that in the word. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like ethical monogamy. You know?
Right. So. And I think everyone gets to decide for themselves whatever their label is. At least for me, it's like constantly changing. And now I'm like, we're doing some form of non-monogamy. We don't have like an exact label for it. So
I know. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, I'm in my relationship and we're doing what works for us. Like that's,
And you are both not monogamous. I know I heard something about polyfamily or
been in a variety of structures.
Uh-huh.
So I was in a monogamous marriage and then we were open, or well, monogamish to open. And then we were polyamorous and then we divorced. And then I was like solo poly and now I'm more like non-monogamous. And now I'm like, I don't know what I want next, but I'm still figuring that out. But Yeah.
It's an adventure.
At minimum, a partner that's down to have threesomes with me.
Hell yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So some same. Form of at like, minimum, yeah. It's just not your standard monogamy, yeah, right? Exactly. And Cammie, what's your vibe?
So I guess technically I'm single right now. I haven't really talked about this yet to my listeners. Ooh. I'll just drop this little bomb and tell y'all about it
later. We're here for the bomb? All right.
But I was in a poly relationship. We de-escalated that. Mm. So now I'm just single because I decided I haven't been single in quite some time and I needed to spend that alone time.
How do you feel about this?
Yes.
I feel like I'm ready to like actually show up for a relationship in a much more like secured in my own self way. Mm-hmm. So, and I still want non-monogamy in my future relationships, whatever degree that, you know, it grows to. But yeah, that's
time for a quick break so we can tell you about our carefully chosen sponsors.
Please stay tuned and buy their products because we only tell you about what we love and what we truly believe in. And it helps keep this podcast free to you. De-escalation, was that because it was difficult? Because I see poly as being such an incredible option for folks, but also challenging in the fact that it's takes really hard. A lot of work. And for me, I already work so much. I'm like, my relationships are already fucking work. And yeah. I'm like, okay, so having, if it's this monocule or
polycule.
Sorry, I'm in a monocule.
A monocle.
So the de-escalation, you don't have to talk about it because I know it's new, but I'm just curious if it was just because of the circumstances with the partner or if it was just because the poly was difficult, the polycule was difficult at the time. I'm always curious to know when people decide to de-escalate.
I feel like I really needed to there was just so many things. So obviously, I love still. Like the dynamic that we were in was really what I felt like. It felt really safe, really homey. Like I was really like best friends with his wife, still am. And I was really close with him, still are. But the relationship aspect of it was the fact that like, I didn't know, especially like if I would have a primary come in, I didn't know if I was ready to like try to explore a primary partnership in which like I don't know that I would necessarily have been ready for him to be or that guy to be poly as well, which would have, you know, I couldn't just be in a poly relationship and then ask him not to be.
Right.
Because of like my past wounds, I need to build a little bit more of a like a foundation in a unit before it can expand. Mm-hmm. Just because I actually haven't had that in a while.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I had to see it from that perspective. And that's what made me realize like, okay, I love being in a poly relationship as a single person. But what I also want to, you know, really get to is like a partnership. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can explore both of those at the same time at the beginning. Because the poly relationship, like especially for like the first 3 months I had so much anxiety. I had so many attachment issues to work through. And it highlighted that like to such a like a high degree that it made me have to do all of that inner work really quickly, which I really enjoyed. And I feel like I got a lot out of it, but I feel like I still need to sit with myself more.
Yeah. So
it was a lot of work. Yeah. It was a lot of work. And I didn't know if I was like ready to, with a primary partnership, explore even more.
That's honest and I think real, and that's what's important
and so wise and evolved is to know that about yourself, that that's something that I need to sit with this and be with myself and before I move forward into something else. A lot of people bypass that step. It can be really scary.
I was exploring that in therapy and I was like, it was very difficult to come to that decision. Mm-hmm. Because obviously that meant leaving something that I was really excited about.
Yeah.
Or not leaving it, but just de-escalating to a new. And honestly, like the de-escalation process, he and I have been doing really well at it. And like we still, you know, we're best friends. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Sorry, listeners.
Let's talk about your Portugal fuck. Bringing it back.
Okay, so.
This is a good story.
So here's the other thing with the language barrier for me, and we're only seeing each other for one night. That's all I have is this one night. Otherwise, I'm very busy. And so like wonderful human, like I said, super hot, like intellectually, all these different aspects. I'm like, awesome human. And the language barriers is still hard. He's, you know, he spoke English really well. I don't speak any Portuguese. So, but when we were being intimate, so before intimacy, before hooking up, as I will say, before banging, we were talking over a drink about, and he knew, you know, what I do, or was that was kind of coming out more and more. He asked me a question about like, well, what about, and I won't try to do his accent, but what about women who are into being spanked? And I don't remember exactly what he said, but told something. I was like, you like you're a dirty girl, a dirty bad girl, a little slut. And he's like, yeah, I like that. And I was like, oh, I'm one of those people, but I don't want that all the time. I don't live it all the time. It has steps of time and a place. But, and I think it comes from my daddy issues also in the book, Daddy, Amy's Daddy Issues.
Love that.
And
we have those.
We have them.
Yes. When we all, yes. Same chip over here.
From both fathers.
Yeah. And so I was like, I think that's where it comes from. And so I'm seeking to have this like strong, dominant figure kind of take care of me energetically, where I can surrender as more like I'm a more subby person. Mm-hmm. But I know that I'm safe, right? And I know that's coming out of adoration, even though like you've been a bad girl, like to, you know, take my cock in deeper or whatever. And so yeah, I like that one. Anyway, so when we're actually being intimate though, and one, it was like moving a little faster than I like, again, in our book, and just one of our taglines is slower than slow and slower than that, particularly and especially for new engagements when you haven't really figured out the body, but also I kind of want that initially all the time. Then we can move to like fast and hard, but that, and I was like, how much do I want to explain this for this one night? And like, really, I probably could have done a better job. I was like, I'm just going to like go with it and make choices roll that feel good for me. And, but at one point he said, and again, not mocking this person, it's just not my jam, what works for me. But I think he's trying to bring in like his kink moment. And he was like, yeah, bitch.
And he was like, no.
And so in my mind, I'm like, so I'm not offended. It's just kind of funny to me. And again, not mocking this person, because I can see why maybe he was asking me that question earlier. And I didn't say, so bitch doesn't work for me, but like dirty little slut. Whore is not really my thing either. But like, if you said it, I'd be like, yeah, it lands a little bit more. Bad girl, good girl, all those things. So anyways, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go in. Like, I don't have 5 minutes in this like short engagement to explain. So bitch isn't really my word. I'm more of this. And then like the context. And then like 5 minutes later, he said it again. And
you're like, let me just take a break here.
So, yeah. So overall, I mean, I think that he probably is a good lover for a lot of people. I think for our alignment, not so much, not terrible, not bad. It's just like the alignment pieces. I usually take a while to.
It's great for someone you knew for about 6 hours.
Yes, I call someone bitch in bed the first time.
But
I
thought, I'm thinking there might have been a language barrier. Maybe that's hot in Portuguese.
And if they're like, I like spanking and being called like a dirty little slut, then I would understand why. Yeah, bitch might make sense. And
I still think bitch is a bold choice for dirty talk.
Yeah.
Bitch is a bold choice for dirty talk. In my opinion, because if someone called me that, I would dry up.
Yeah, he might not have slut or some kind of like, or like you naughty little girl. I don't know. He might not have that in his.
I could have been like,
give it a benefit of the doubt.
So again, if I had like a lot of time and capacity, I'd be like, okay, so that's not really landing for me. I wouldn't insult them, whoever I was sleeping with. It's not really landing for me. Here's what works for me. And be like, oh, okay. And if they're offended by that, then that's their shit. But
have you ever had that? So I know that I have too, but like not with a random hookup, but dudes that just took it one layer too far, where I was like, okay, we need less of that, where they're
like always cranking
especially
it up a
notch. with dirty talk specifically, where it kind of like, because it's difficult to offend me, but it's not something that I'm not gonna shame anyone, but I'm like, oh, that just got me. It's, at least for me, there is a few things, but I'm curious about you all.
I'm trying to think of any. Now, this doesn't have to do with dirty talk, but I am someone that likes to be like hit or impact play, if we want to use that term. And I told a story one time on the pod of how like this guy, it was our first time hooking up, literally like 5 minutes in, and without asking me, he just like smacks me across the face. And like in that moment, it did land. But then like, as I thought about it later, and like, I was like talking to my friends about it, then I was like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have been cool with that. So, but when it comes to dirty talk, I'd have to really think about it. I've definitely been in situations though, where the guy said something in the middle, and it was usually probably like a fairly new scenario. And I was like, yeah, no. The one time I it was actually one of my ex-partners. And I mean, we'd been together for quite some time and we're trying to figure out how to, you know, spice it up, bring in something new, you know. And he was on top of me. He goes, I forgot what he said before, but he goes, bitch. And then we both stop and he laughs and he goes, that wasn't it.
Oh. Was like, yeah, no. Didn't land.
I was like on all fours, like, what?
Bitch is not a nice one.
No. It's bold.
One of the first time, well, actually, this was the one and only time I was having sex with this one guy. It was an Italian man. And I love spit. I love spit during sex. Sure. Spit in my mouth.
I love when my partner does that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Spit in my mouth all you want. I had this guy, first time we had sex, and he aggressively spreads my legs and spits on my pussy.
Okay.
And I was like, ew, no.
You mean you like slammed your legs shut? Nope. You're like, nope.
There goes dry pussy. Yep. You tried to lube it up, but instead you went dry because
exactly.
of that.
Yeah. 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 Like, as a reverse effect.
Well,
yeah.
What you said before, it's like when you're having sex with a new person, like slower than slow is mm-hmm. like, better because yeah, it's like you don't know this guy. Like,
yeah,
whenever he did that, I didn't know what was gonna come next, but I was like, what the fuck, dude? I barely know you, okay? Regular missionary until I feel safe, like, yeah. nothing else.
Absolutely, I like that rule.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah it's like, well, the at least my body takes a while to like get used to another body, even just hugging someone. It's a little bit like, who are you? And then so all the layers of touch, if it comes to eroticism, it's this buildup of like, so if we're talking about my whole body, like you're going to work with my mind and then you're going to work with the non-erogenous zones of my body for a while and then go into the secondary erogenous zones, which is not my pussy or my asshole, and then make your way into my pussy, but not in, out for a while and then in. And that's a journey. So maybe not everyone's down for the journey. I should probably have them sign an agreement before.
Well, you also have like a Rubik's cube of a fucking vulva.
Yeah.
I'm like a down to fuck.
Once you figure it out. Yeah. Yeah, she's DTF.
I'm just like, dude, like I like the go slower than slow thing is great for me, but I don't get off. Like Amy's like, oh, I got it like a 3-hour vulva massage. And I was like, that sounds fucking horrible. I was like, I would be like, no. Oh, like, let's move it along here. Okay.
I am somewhere in the middle. Okay, if you have the astrological reasoning behind that, Cancer is cardinal and they just want to go. And Pisces is mutable. So they're like, let's just chill here for a little while.
Yeah.
That's I know. Nice. Well, I'm just always like a fast mover. And I do like slowing down. I've been much better slowing down in the bedroom. And then I still am like, let's speed it up a little bit. Let's get some things happening. Where's a toy? Where's some lube? Smack me around, choke me, and let's go.
Wait, I have a question. Yes. What are your favorite secondary erogenous zones? I have mine and it's my armpits.
Oh my God. I have an armpit story with
ears
that. And it wouldn't be ears or ears.
Yeah.
I think mine used ears to ears? Be okay. ears. And now mine is like, I like neck, but the back of my neck and the my upper part of my shoulders, but like down my love upper that. Spine, up, and then also side boob.
Yes.
Yeah, side boob. Yeah.
Ears are actually my least favorite.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. I can't stand the.
I get like such tingles and I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's something that could give me an orgasm. Maybe probably, if I practice eventually. However, I've never had an orgasm from it, but I love it. It's like so almost so over, like overloads me with so many sensations that it's not irritating. It's like really, it's different than I really. Yeah.
You don't get worried that you're going to have like, they're going to taste the earwax.
Oh no. I give zero fucks.
That's how deep they're going in there. They're going like deep down.
I mean, I clean my ears, but like you never know.
She's a clean person. There's no deep. I feel like anybody's ever like tongued my ear in my inner ear.
Like trying to like get in the hole.
Yeah. So it depends. I also didn't know, but Amy actually witnessed this. One time I was at a trade show in LA and I had my high heels, my stiletto heels on barefoot all day, just right, sweaty, and like you can't help it, you're walking around. Mm-hmm. And I finally was like, oh my God, I'm so happy to sit down. And this gorgeous, he's actually Quebecois, so he's from Montreal. Ooh. And speaks French. Somehow they always French, huh? I do. Thank you. The French do everything better, we know. So he was like, oh, he sat next to me. Amy was witnessing this and took off. I had this like this gorgeous like bright blue stiletto. He took off. He's like, oh, your feet look like they need massage. I was like, okay.
Yeah. This is and in front of a bunch of people,
like,
by the way.
Yes. It's not just him and I. And I'd been on my feet for 9 hours. I was like, yes, they could. He has a massage. Great. Thank you. And he's my customer. Like, he's a distributor. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say no. I wasn't selling him. I was also like, this feels good. And he's younger than me. I always like a crush, but I never shit where I eat, right? Or dip my pen in the company ink, if you will. I don't do that. Yeah. I try not to. So definitely there was no conflict of interest in my receiving the toe or the foot massage. Well, then suddenly he just grabs my foot and starts sucking on my toes in front of everyone.
Yeah, the sweaty 9 hours.
Where was I?
No, this is many years ago. I was married at the time.
Old Amity.
And I was
monogamously?
Like, okay. I mean, I didn't know that it was going this direction. And I was like, oh, and then I was like, I'm married. But I was like, this isn't really sex to me right now. This is in front of like all of my coworkers and Amy. And Amy was like, looking at me. She's like, okay. And then she was like, wow. And then suddenly I was like, okay. I think it's time to put my foot away. I'm getting embarrassed for like.
Good time because your husband walked in 5 minutes
later. And then
my
husband walked in. He's like, hi. I was like, oh my God. I feel like I just. So bad. And then dude would come up to me. I mean, we still talk because he's still a good friend of mine, the customer, and I adore him. And he's always like, if you ever want a foot massage, I'm like, you know what? I did find that very
Is it cute? It was very
erotic. And it was in front of people that I respected and fully clothed and people could actually talk about it after. Amy said, she's like, wow, man.
I love that moment. You just had a really hot dude
suck on your sweaty, probably toe jammed, stiletto shoved foot. I was like, I know, that was really cool.
I love this. Yeah. I love getting my toes sucked. So
I didn't know that I did until
if
then.
This is happening at Amy. I need to stay longer.
Yeah, you do. You haven't stayed. You're going on the day thing. Yeah, come hang out. I'd be like, we call him over. Like, someone needs their toes sucked.
You could probably line up. I think the sweatier and like the, I think, and I don't have sexy feet. You have great feet. My feet are, in my opinion, not the cutest.
You have cute feet.
You have great feet too.
My foot people do pay well for these.
I mean, I would.
You do work with.
I think we have a good arch.
Oh, you do?
I would pay for those. Yeah.
In person or just online?
Online.
Oh, just nice.
But people might like my feet. They have like, you know, they've been shoved in a lot of shoes. So they got those knuckle things happening.
Oh, you'd be surprised. The foot community likes a vast variety. Yeah. Oh, I love the veins. Yeah. And I'm not even veiny right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, see, I have a lot of veins.
Yeah,
I love that.
They'll request it too. They'll be like, hey, did you just finish a workout? Are they extra veiny? Send me a pic. I'm like, oh, okay.
All right.
I'm just vascular. I always thought I was like always embarrassed, but I'm like, I'm very vital. I have
tried.
I work out
and you've
a lot.
Got a following. Just do a foot page.
Foot page, April.
Do a foot page.
OnlyFans.
I would be devastated if no one looked at it.
No, I'll trust me. Sunroom. It's like a soft OnlyFans, but that's where I sell all my feet pics.
Okay. You know, I need this kind of information.
Oh, she has all the shoes too for it?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, they love shoes. I used to have a submissive that would buy me shoes and he would want me to step on his face with those shoes. And that was the whole agreement.
That's awesome.
And that was it. Everyone's like, you never had sex with him. And not only did he buy me like Louboutins and Louis Vuitton and Gucci shoes, but he also paid me.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you never had sex. I was like, no.
Time for a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors who just so happens to be our absolute favorite lube, Uber Lube. Uber Lube is a luxurious silicone lubricant and it enhances intimacy. It's there when you want it and it blends in when you're done with it. So you have control over that lube. It's long lasting and leaves the skin extra velvety. And honestly, y'all, I want it all over my body. Thousands of doctors in the U.S. are recommending Uber Lube to their patients. It's body friendly, less likely to change the pH, and it has vitamin E, so it feels extra moisturizing.
There's a reason why we've been a fan of Uber Lube for years. There's no flavor or scent. It's even great for oral sex, everyone. But it's not just great for sex. You can use it for massage, your hair. You can prevent chafing. It even brings out the colors of your beautiful tattoos. And the bottle is absolutely gorgeous. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it anywhere shamelessly for easy access. Just go to uberlube.com and use the discount code SHAMELESS10 to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com right now with code SHAMELESS10 for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. Join over 1 million people who are experiencing more pleasure with OMGS. They take scientific research of thousands of vulva owners showing techniques to pleasure that pussy. They turn this research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Want to take your orgasms from good to out of this world? Then check out OMGS. Or if you're a vulva lover and want to up your pussy pleasuring skills, then you need to check out OMGS.
I've personally been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's completely changed their lives. They have three seasons: external pleasure, internal pleasure, and sex toys. It's not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. OMGS also makes a fabulous gift, and your purchase supports more pleasure research. So just go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. The link is in the episode's description.
I think you need to manage or at least coach maybe both of us, but but particularly me, because AB did get, she got, we did this financial dominatrix episode with a professional finance dom, and then somebody started sending Amy money, and then Amy was like,
"I'm not even a dominatrix.
She's not a dominatrix. Yeah, you said Amy's like, I can't." And I was like, "No, keep the money. We'll buy some shit for ourselves. We've got this thing to go to." I'm like, "I'm getting in on this because." And she's like, "I just can't." She like, sent the money back. She's like, "No."
Well, no, there was more to it. What I did, like, he sent like $100, and then $200, and $500, eventually $6,000, and then like a day or two.
Wow.
And maybe 2 days.
Send it my way.
Yeah. But somebody wanted me to. Is all over email. I never met him, nothing on the phone, nothing, just all email. Like,
I started looking his ass up, and I was like, yo, he's got a family. I don't know. And that's when she was like, oh no.
But I was also like, this could be dangerous. Like, what if he has, you know, like he's like alimony or like a mortgage or something, and he's like addicted to this way. He just wants me to tell him, you're a dirty, nasty little pay pig, and I'm going to ruin your life if you don't keep giving me money.
His finances are his business, not yours. So just take the money and do it. So
here's what I did. I was like, stepped out of the role. I was like, okay, to continue this, I'm going to step out of the role, and I need you to like basically sign this agreement. That was, I just made it myself. It's not like there's no lawyers or anything. It was like clause 1, 2, 3, which is like, this is role play.
But your partner and as a lawyer didn't help you write it.
He did not.
Oh,
no, he didn't.
Did your partner's a lawyer?
I did. Yeah, my partner's a criminal defense attorney. Convenient. I don't think he did.
I think he did because I remember this specifically.
I probably had him look at it. Maybe not. Okay, we'll sorry, partner. But anyways, so at first he said no.
I love y'all's energy. Yeah. Y'all are like sisters. Yeah. It's cute.
We're like,
I love
it. We're twins from different, very different parents. Anyway, so at first he said no, because I took it. He didn't like all that stuff. Then he came back a day later and was like, okay, never mind. I changed my mind. Yes. And then he just disappeared. Wow. I feel fine about it. I did keep $500.
Yeah, for and you my bought time. Me something with that too, which was very generous.
You're welcome.
Good generous. Person. Yeah. Good karma right there.
My financial submissive, he bought me a Louis Vuitton, the little where it's like the 3-in-1. Oh. The origami pouches.
Yeah, and I gave one to Cammy.
Oh, you know?
See?
Oh, I also had him buy you those Stuart Weitzman boots.
I love those.
Oh, and those YSL boots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's bought her some things, too.
Oh, yeah, a lot out of this.
So I would have a problem accepting things from dudes. I will. I do.
Really?
Yeah, it's my daddy issues. It's like me... It's like me doming every situation. Like if I'm out with a bunch of guys, I will like silently pick up the bill. And even if they're like... ordering
to make just, like $1 billion.
I have like weird, even if they make a lot of money, because it's like me big dicking them to be like, yo, I don't need your fucking money. I got it. And those are always like
Louis Vuittons though.
I haven't gotten near it yet, but I will say this. I like receiving gifts. And this was like, it was a nice little dynamic that him and I had for some time. But I am also the kind where like, I do like to spoil the men in my life. Like when I was married to my ex-husband, I was the breadwinner. And like, I loved showering him with things when I could. So now, I don't know if it comes from my daddy issues, but I do think it comes from a place of like also wanting to be like, look, I'm in control of the situation. I don't need you. Mm-hmm. So I could see that.
I went out with this restaurateur. He was an Italian-Australian because I traveled a lot all over the world for you know, talking about sex toys. And this guy was loaded. I mean, he had a flat in Sydney that was like insane. And we met, he like came up to me at a wine bar with a colleague. And then I was like, you're cool. He had so much money. He like gave me the, like the keys to his like really nice vehicle. And then he like ended up flying us to Melbourne for a dinner. And I comp the dinner. It was like probably like $1,000 for him and I. And he's like, this is the first time in his like 39 years of being alive, because this is many years ago now, that any woman had ever bought anything for him.
Mm-hmm. That's so sad.
Yeah.
It's nice to spoil men.
And then every dude that I hooked up with on my year of being single, which is where the podcast was born, because Amy was single, I was single, where Shameless Sex was born. I sent every dude I hooked up with, and I have a list of them, not that many, probably like six, but in different countries. Cause I was in Chile, I was in Brazil, I was in Spain, I was in Australia, I was in Thailand, I hooked up with a Scottish guy in Thailand. And then I was also Germany, the DJ, and then like Amsterdam. I was in a lot of places, and I sent each one of them after, like, I was very clear. I was like, yo, we're cool, we can be homies. And I sent them, I'm like, give me your address. I would send them a big box of sex toys so they could use on their next partners.
Blessings.
Yes.
That is so nice.
Yeah. And lube,
I need
too.
To be that giving.
It was like it was probably like $800 worth of sex toys.
Experience. The guy in Portugal, I had a copy of the book with me. And so I gave him a copy of the book and a bottle of lube. And part of me is like, the copy book, it's not shame and self-promotion. It's so you can become your most awesome nice. Lover.
Yeah. What lube did you give him?
Uber lube. Of course.
Okay, Uber lube's great. Slower.
Yes.
Uber lube. Wait, I have a question, because it sounds like you two have... It sounds like we have differing views on Germans, and I want to understand why. Germans have been my best lovers. The French have been disappointing. So,
okay, I'm in shock by this.
I know. And so when you said earlier that the French do everything the best and that Germans are the worst lovers, I was like, Germans have been my like prime time. So I hooked up with a German dude in Dubai.
Are you an ass girl? Because I heard, like, think Germans like the ass.
Maybe it's just the Germans in Germany. And not the Germans in Dubai.
Okay, so at the same time, Nikki had a little fling with a German guy in Dubai. I just had, you know, made out with this one dude who lived in Germany, but I don't know where the fuck he was from. He looked like from somewhere in the Middle East.
Mine was for sure from Germany. Yeah, he was born.
And I champion y'all for international sex. I just haven't gotten there yet. And I made out with this guy that night, and then the next day he's like, I miss you.
Oh, too soon. Too soon.
Dude, like, they say I love you usually, so I miss you actually isn't that bad, because they don't know a lot. Like when I lived in Sevilla in Spain, and this guy, I was 19, and the guy's name was Jesus. I can throw the name out because his name was Jesus. And I remember I was like, wow, I never fucked him, but we like had this romantic like kissing session or three. I was 19. I was like, wow. And he's like, I remember after the first one, he was like, I love you, April. And I was like,
too soon.
Whoa,
yeah.
That's wild.
That's what I'm talking about, the language barrier. Okay, because some things don't translate, and they still hit you. Like, I love you, and it still affects you.
I love you,
right?
Big. So
yeah. That's like, big in any
my
language.
Ex-husband from Israel, and he said, "I love you," pretty much like the second day. And I was like, "You need to tell me in Hebrew, because then it's going to mean more to you.
Ooh.
Because if it's in your language, then maybe you'll understand how deep that is." But he still said it in that language too.
You've got to have 19. Sagittarius placements in your chart with all these international boobs.
Do you know your birth time?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God, I'll do your chart.
I've spent a lot of time and money. I love my astrology. I just felt like
you should get more charts.
Wait,
though.
Let's hear it. Yeah, what is it?
So my rising is I'm Virgo.
Okay, Virgo
and then
rising.
Taurus moon. And then I do have some Sagittarius, but it's not very much. But like the houses that I'm in, it's very like there's a lot of travel. I have a lot of community and travel.
Ninth and third house?
I think so. Now I have to remember.
Well, send it to me sometime and I'll look at the chart.
7/16/82. I was born at, so my mom gave me the wrong birth time, by the way. So I spent a lot of money getting my astrology read. I was a Scorpio rising for like 5 years. I thought I almost got like the alchemic symbols for, I was like, I'm double water earth, but no, I'm like double earth water. Yes. I don't have a tattoo for this reason. I still have like some kind of PTSD. So I was born at, my mom always told me I was born at 4:25 PM, but I was born at 10:26 AM in Woodstock, Illinois. I'm from the Midwest.
Love that.
And that's
the hold on. I can only type so fast.
Okay.
7/16/82. Yeah. 10:26 AM.
My social security number is, I'm just kidding.
Woodstock, I will leave it out. Yeah. How do you spell Illinois? Woodstock?
I-L-L. It's like ill.
Just put Woodstock, I-L, and it'll bring it up.
Yeah, well, she's right.
Okay, I got
so
it.
So your experience with Germans has been disappointing.
So, no, not really. I worked for a German company for a long time, but my sexual experiences.
Okay.
And I've only had that one experience where I was met a guy at the hotel bar who wasn't even part of our trade show. Yeah. He was cute. I like guys in glasses. Yeah. And then we're like flirting. He's like, do you want to go back to the
room? Magician party? The magician party?
With
the magician?
No, just at the hotel at the Radisson.
Okay.
In Germany. And so he's like, do you want to go back to the room? I was like, you know what? I'm going through a heartache. Fuck yeah. And then went back there. And before we even kissed, he said, like, try to take it off my pants. And I was like, no, my pants are staying on. And he's like, come on, I want to lick your ass. And I was like, no. And but he was trying, like, coercion, right? He's like trying to pull him off. I was like, stop it. And he's like, no, come on, I just want to lick your ass. I'm so bad at German accent, as you know, but I was like, stop it right now. Got up, grabbed my shoes, and like ran down the hallway barefoot. I was like, fuck that.
Wow. The Germans I've been with have been so romantic.
Really?
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Not just straight for the asshole.
Not okay.
Were they
for the
German
asshole.
Proper Germans, or were they like living outside of Germany for a while?
No, proper Germans. Okay. So one was born in Frankfurt. The other one was from Munich. And then the third one, I don't remember what city he was born in. I'd have to go back and look. But they were all born in Germany. And like, well, one of them was living here. One I met in Dubai. And then, the other one was visiting here.
Mm, okay.
I met him. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying all Germans. No, because you can't say that about any.
No, that's true. It's true. But right? Then the French I've been terrible. With have been like. Yeah, too much.
I think that's just like, luck of the draw. Like, I hooked up with plenty of Americans, not so good. Okay.
I mean, I know Americans were in my, I was like, I don't want to ever be with an American ever again after I was on my international booty crawl.
Instead of a pub crawl, it's a booty crawl.
I will say this. Both of y'all's stories have been like inspiring me, especially after the guy in Dubai that I'm like, I kind of want to go take a little, you know, solo month-long stint in Europe and just see
fuck your
see
way through Europe.
Yeah. Believe me, it won't be difficult.
Yeah. What?
It won't be difficult.
No,
it won't be.
It's kind of no like, and I will say South America being at clubs, I forgot, and this is a real quick story. I'm not going to take up too much of the space because speaking of the international booty crawl, I hooked up. So I was at a club and I was maybe, it was after my divorce, right after my divorce. I was 33 and I went to a club with she's my colleague. I call her my work wife. And cause we were in, it was in Chile and we were in this club and I didn't realize that you didn't have to be 21. So all these dudes were like,
no, we know where this is going.
They were like hitting on us. And it was like, oh my God. I was like, damn, there's so many like very attractive men. I was like, man. So then we're outside waiting for a cab. Cause I was like, you know, I think it's time to go back to our Airbnb. We had this really nice Airbnb, like surrounded by the mountains. With like a piano. And so we went back and there's these guys like swarming us. And I was like, wow. And there was some diplomat's son. And we ended up going back to his house. And I was like, wow, you guys are so young looking. Like, how old are you? This fucking guy was 18. And I...
You were in your 30s?
33.
Okay.
I was nice. Like, please. And after we had like been making out and stuff, I was like, wait a second. How old are you? Because his friend said he was 19. And I was like, I didn't really think about it. I was like, a club. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be 21.
You're a neighbor, I'm sure.
Yeah. I was definitely, you know, I had intoxication.
Did you send him sex toys?
We ended up hooking up. So after he proved to me that he was 18 and not under the age, because I was like, can I see your identification?
After you asked for it though?
Yeah. Well, then we did have sex a few times and he was like, I used a vibrating bullet that I had for my company at the time. Yeah. And he was like, can I please have this? I was like, absolutely. Yes. And then after it was so cute. Yeah. But then I was like, that's like weird. Like, is that, I was 33 year old woman. He was 18. I don't know how freshly 18 because I didn't check. I just checked the year. I don't know. He might have just newly been 18.
That's bobcat status right there.
Full I don't know, but status. I haven't really told anyone about that. And I think
now everyone knows. Now
I guarantee you, he thinks about you often.
Yes, we're friends on Instagram. You. He's hit me up a few times. He moved to Madrid, and you know who you are if you're listening. Hi.
Hi.
He has because I did send him. A big box of sex toys when he lived in Chile. And he was like, thank you so much. Like, he was so cool. He also had a mustache. And mustaches make people look older.
They do.
And I was like, you do not look like I agree, 18.
Yeah. I know everyone who wants to look older is going to grow a mustache.
It was a thick mustache. Probably his salvation.
Yeah.
He probably thinks that. About you daily.
Yeah.
If not.
Okay, he did say that.
Your pull game is strong.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I did show him some things. I will say I was proud. I was like, hey, you're going to be so good after
You're
this.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm going to teach you. Well, the guy that I met in Dubai, the German, him and I hooked up a couple of times while I was there, and I was obsessed with his dick. But for a 25-year-old, I was like, damn, son, who taught you how to have sex like this? Because he was doing some things that I was like, shit, man, like, I haven't seen this in the States. Let me just put it that way. So it was a phenomenal.
That's how I feel about the Scottish guy. I came back from Thailand, hooked up with this guy. I fell in love. I'm not even kidding. I was like, he had a Prince Albert piercing, mm-hmm. which broke all the condoms, by the way, which is not
that's
cool.
But dangerous. I was like,
okay, is that the tip?
That's where it goes through the urethra. And then he's uncircumcised. Most people in Scotland are not circumcised. Only about 5% of the population. So that was awesome too. But holy shit, I was like, this guy, he was also a stripper.
Wait, preference circumcised or uncircumcised?
What's that? Preference?
No preference.
I actually like uncircumcised.
Yeah, I don't really have a preference. I've been with uncircumcised people where there was like a lot of extra skin, mm-hmm. and that to me was like somehow less attractive. Not shaming you if that's your thing, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm not interested. If I'm interested in the person, I don't give a fuck about how much foreskin you have. We also didn't have a deep connection. So
I like the self-lubricating aspect of where it lubricates almost more when you have foreskin. Yeah. Like that's kind of cool to me because you get a lot of more of the pre-cum.
It has glands on there that are like mm-hmm. free lube are being cut off.
Because it's like its own little masturbation sleeve.
Yeah, a little jack-off device.
No, it is. Yeah. For hand jobs, it's great.
Totally.
Yeah. It gets rid of, like, there's less of the friction issue. It's fabulous. Yeah.
And I think it's like more friction inside the
Okay, but I have a question. So how did the piercing feel inside you?
So I
would have been terrified.
Didn't know what to expect. And he said before, he was very polite and super ripped, tattooed everywhere, which I think is hot. And then he's like, hey, I have to tell you, I'm a stripper, but not just for funsies. So he was an electrician by trade to make money. But I guess in Scotland, like, there's not a lot of men that look like him. I don't know. This is what he said.
But he could use that uniform dual purpose.
Yes, totally. So I was like, okay. So then he said that's what he got the Prince Albert piercing. And so I was like, okay. I was like, well, I want to use condoms because you're a stripper. And God knows you probably, like,
and
I don't need
condoms with random sex is a good idea in general.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't need some stids up in here. So the condoms would break though with the Prince Albert. That was the problem, but it was awesome. I felt like I got more G-spot stim from that somehow with how our bodies were. I also was kind of like on a rampage where I just was like, sometimes just, this is going to sound really bad, but using men as my fuck boys.
Fuck toys,
I was just like,
fuck
boys.
I don't think that's bad. Men use women for that all the time.
Totally.
Yeah, they do. That's
but I was
true.
Like, but he loved it. He was like, this is so much fun.
But you wouldn't do it as an asshole though. You weren't like, you know, no, you wouldn't like use them and
he
be like, fuck you.
Or you wanted to fly
you
to
wouldn't
the
ghost them. You wouldn't do any of that stuff. I think there's a difference between using people as like a fuck toy, whatever the gender is. And then you're being an asshole after versus like, and some people like being used. They're like, please use
me. I love being used if it's done nicely and consensually. Yeah. Like I'm all for it. I will be your little toy as long as you treat me nice after.
Yeah. I don't orgasm from penetrative sex usually. Like, I'm a external stim human, and I could, that was the first time in my life, I don't even think I've told my partner this story, but like that I've been able to orgasm from just penetration, no sex toys at all. And I don't know if it was the Prince Albert piercing, where I was in my life, or that I just was like, just gave zero fucks about anything, because I was just all out. So it was really fun. And that's why I fell in love with that D. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with that D.
Mm-hmm. I want to fuck a guy with a piercing now.
You want me to call him?
I don't.
He has a kid now, but he lives in Scotland.
Wait, he lives here now?
No, Edinburgh.
So, yeah.
Edinburgh.
We're all going to Scotland. Here we go.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah, let's
book
flight.
He ended up ghosting me, though, the little shit ass. And I was like, I was like, and then he ended up apologizing. Like, I'm so sorry. I just was in my head because I really care about you. And then I was like, we're done here.
Mm-hmm. Why do men do that?
Yeah.
Like, I was in my head, so I was ignoring you. Is that supposed to mean? Make us feel better.
Like that. I feel
is
like,
that really what it was?
I feel like you're too into so me, rude. So I need to ghost you because I don't know how to deal with this. Instead of being like, hey, you know, so I'm here's what I'm perceiving that you're really into me, maybe or something, and I'm not exactly there. I want to stay single or whatever. So how can we all work together? Or like, can this be the end of the road or whatever? Instead of just bye. Without exactly. even a vibe.
Well, he was
just
too
gone.
Afraid that he was falling in love with me and I had just been through a divorce and he thought he was rebound material, which was valid, but I never responded. So I was like, we're done here.
Yeah.
And thank you for that, Prince Albert.
One thing that our book, we spent a lot of time on in the book, and it's not just about communication, but because we find, I don't know if y'all find you get sex questions from listeners, probably, yeah, right? Do. So if you find that like one of the top things that you're answering is communication, and yeah. and I'm not saying that, like we all as sex educators say this, so it's nothing new, but it, you know, if they're like, I don't know how to orgasm my partner, I don't have orgasm penetrative sex is often like, yeah, have you talked to your partner about it? Yeah. Have you talked to them about what works for your body? Do you even know what your body likes? So our book has all these different pieces of figuring all those parts out. What do you like? How do you share with your partner? But the communication pieces are huge. So one thing two things we add in there. One is the differences between small asks and big asks. Mm-hmm. So small ask would be, you know, if someone's I'll use my Portuguese lover, for example.
Yes.
You know, say like that he's like, you know, rubbing like on my legs even your and thighs, my whole. Yeah, he wasn't doing that. Actually, when he touched my pussy, it was actually quite nice. It was just like so we use that as an example. It wasn't too fast.
Okay.
But it was like quite nice. But then he would move to something fairly quickly after like a minute or two. So a small ask, I think, could apply to that. And so it isn't this huge, like you get triggered and have a process, you know, whereas a big ask would be like, hey, so I'm thinking about non-monogamy or yeah, I want to
yeah,
break up
threesome or yeah.
Or that, or like, I don't, deep I think I need fisting. Some space or something that's really, yeah, I want to have a threesome. Not when you're fucking, you're naked, having sex. So a small ask would be something that is more that can be tailored in that moment that feels lighter, even though someone still might get triggered over it. And so we talk about the differentiation between those two, how to navigate those. And then we also have the connect formula, which is a way to like actually really have the bigger conversation. Yeah, it's an acronym for have bigger conversations around sex that might feel really challenging.
The small ask, big ask thing, I was actually very intrigued about because when we were talking about it on the way here, I was thinking about it and I was like, small and big are relative terms. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking, for example, and this was like something that came to mind for me. So there was this guy that I hooked up with at a sex party, and afterwards, he was like, hey, would you ever want to hook up again? And I was like, absolutely. And he was like, great. And he was like, I think it would be so hot if we like set up a reverse gangbang.
Whoa.
And I was like,
it's a big leap.
Yeah. And I was like,
what's
okay.
a reverse gangbang?
So he's the one getting gangbanged.
Well, he's getting gangbanged. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
of course
that.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
He just wants five chicks.
Of course. Put it this way.
That's a good ask, but
interesting. It is a good ask. But I was thinking about that because I was like, for me, given the context of like our relationship and the fact that like we had only hooked up once at a sex party, I barely knew him. I did really like the sex that we had and like I was very excited about the sex, but like I felt in that moment asking me for a reverse gangbang was a really big ask.
Yes.
However, if it was like one of my, you know, other partners who I have been with for some time and who made me feel safe and made me feel valued and cherished and like already set the groundwork for like a solid relationship. Had they been like, hey, let's set up a reverse gangbang, I would have been like, small ask. Let me do it. So like, I really like the concept of those questions. And I also really like, it made me think about like the context of it because like, I do think that like small and big mm-hmm. can change depending on like who you're with and like the relationship that you two have.
Yeah.
You know, cause like for some people, like, and also like, you know, even in your own experiences, for some people, like anal is a big ask. Mm-hmm. For others, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's different for everyone.
I like that.
And I think we can feel in our, not that it's always accurate, but we can feel in ourselves if something is big or small in terms of the ask, where one will feel more intense, like this is really fucking scary to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's different for every person, right? Like you're saying, for some people talking about anal, like, oh, I want to try anal, can be really fucking scary to talk about. And for other people, like, I feel something, I don't know if they're into it, I feel a little insecure, but not like I'm going to lose my shit. Like my, you know, I'm not talking about anal, shouldn't say lose my shit, but not going to like, I'm worried that they're going to go full trigger town or something like that. And so I think we can really feel into the differentiation between those. And then when it is the bigger one, the big ask, the connect formula, what we put together that works really well for us, and we've taught to a lot of people and learned from a lot of people, other educators and like nonviolent communication, other different kind of outlets. So we put them together in this way where you start with, and I won't talk too much about it because it's in the book. So y'all have to get the book to check it out. But you start with something that's really like light and positive, not just like, okay, let's talk about something really scary. You know,
yeah.
Like, hey, there's something I've been thinking about that's really important to me. I'm wondering if you're open to having this conversation. So you're also getting permission. And then starting with something that is positive, but authentic. So don't bullshit them. Like, just let you know, like, I love you. Or if it's not love, you know, I'm really enjoying
Enjoy
the sex we're having.
Body or and your Prince Albert piercing.
Yeah, sexual connection that we've been having and sharing. And I also have this desire to have a reverse gangbang. It's been fantasizing about it. It's been kind of hanging out. And I just want to know, like, I'm curious, like, what you think about that. And then we have other layers of how to deal with, like, their response and negotiation and the exploration. But I think a lot of people feel really stuck, so they don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to even address
everyone
it.
Everyone always talks about you, and you mentioned this earlier, but especially in the world of sexuality, how important communication is. But there aren't a lot of folks that have one specific method to apply. So that's why Amy was talking about, we combined mm-hmm. all of these different methods. And so you could even scan that or screenshot it if you write in the book and then refer to it, because we did take a lot of time and effort to compile all of this information, but in a way that could be like, I need to connect with my partner. I need to connect with myself. And is easily done and deliverable to multiple partners, for yourself, but also with friends, even if, mm-hmm. if it's a conversation not about sex.
Business partners.
Because I've done that in like, with like family. I'm like, okay, I need to talk to my mom about this. I need to connect with some stuff, because if I just go straight in with what is bothering me about our relationship, you know, that's a whole thing. So it's not just for like difficult conversations around sex and intimacy, but it could be applied to so many things. Mm-hmm. But communication is, like, as my brother would say, the whore that fucks us all. Because he likes to throw in an Irish accent, because it's like time and communication. It's hard. It's like, it always is just like there. And it's important to take the time to get what you want out of your relationships, because they're always changing and your body's changing and what you want, your desire is going to change. And that's why the connect form is important. But so many aspects of the book that you can just flip through.
I'm excited to read it.
Yeah.
Just listening to y'all stories and like seeing your dynamic.
Prince Albert did not make it in there, by the way.
Yeah, there should
Prince
be more Albert of that in there.
No, he did not.
Because we didn't want the book. It's not about us. We are woven in there. There's plenty of things that we did not share today that is in there about our personal journeys, especially some of the shame and the hard things that we've gone through, and some of the sunshine and rainbows too. But it is, you know, written for the reader to really help themselves and guide themselves into their erotic journey again and again, right? Like, you know, you might be like, okay, here's my issue today, and you go find something that resonates with you, and you go find your outcome, and then here's all the things that you can try to alter that, and then you feel good and clean and clear, and then 6 months later you have a new thing, so you come back to it, because that will happen.
And I do think this book is relevant, because I remember when I bought the book 4-Hour Work Week. Now I look at it and I'm like, that's all bullshit right now, right?
I mean, 10 years later. It helped me
at the time, but now I'm like, that's a little bit, that was before we had the internet going as well as it is now and AI stuff, which this book was not written by AI or ghostwriters, everyone. We didn't even know about that. I wouldn't trust it at the time. I still don't really trust it. I like get curious about how people, the Hollywood writers were on strike because of AI. And anyway, but I think in 10 years, we wrote this.
Yes, we wrote it.
And in 10 years, we were reading the Audible version, because Amy and I read every other chapter, the Audible version. Like, there were laugh out loud moments.
Oh, you narrated it?
We narrated it. Yeah.
I did the
even chapter.
If you all wrote a book, you could have podcast voices, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all have good voices. Y'all have better podcast voices.
Well,
than
you have great voices.
We have cackly.
There were laugh out loud moments reading this book, though. Yeah. I was like, we have to stop, because I was like dying.
And the director was dying.
He was like, no, Wolverine wasn't.
Wait, Wolverine?
That's
Wolverine.
Like our Halloween costume we really want. Like a Volvo with
a super hairy vulva.
Yeah.
Wolverine.
That like has nails.
Yeah.
Like it's a Wolverine.
That's my pussy. Maybe that's my niche on OnlyFans.
That just came from, that also came from a friend guy that I used to hang out with, that you couldn't say Wolverine. He'd always say, it's the Wolverine. And I was like, that needs to be a costume. That's where awesome. That came from.
Wolverine. So, hairy vaginas are in.
Yeah. I mean, I've been rocking it since I was like, you know, 21. I was like, fuck all this waxing nonsense. My skin hates it. My skin was like, I like, do I want to look like a kid going through puberty, having like a rash on my genitals, or do I want to like protect it and have some hair? So I'm not like full bush, but you know, if my hair could grow, it'd be like going down my legs. It like wants to. I mean, you should see the hair on my head. Obviously I'm like a hairy person, but yeah. It's and nice. I like it. I like the texture of pubic hair on pubic hair. It's just, it's
and
my
I'm
jam.
Like a sphinx.
Yeah. So she has no hair.
I swear people with like a lot of hair, like y'all, everyone has a lot of hair, are like really fertile. That's what I always think about. Fertility with hair. I don't know if this is true.
Never I am done very studies. Fertile. I've found
but
that
I,
out.
Yeah, yeah. See, I just feel like there's some relation. Now, I don't know if I'm fertile or not. I'm never trying to get, have babies. Nothing's coming out of this vagina other than, you know, what I want and going in what I want to. But I'm like a sphinx and I grow no hair. And I'm always like, Amy, that's so impressive. Like your bush can
like,
just
do you
grow.
Want some? I have plenty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like a nudist. I'm like a never nude. She's like a nudist.
Yeah. Never
she's just
nudist.
Like, I'm not going to be naked. I was like, okay.
If I had my way, I would not wear clothes at all. But yeah. Also, same. Yeah. Yeah. It's just
so I don't
so
try
nice.
To stare nice, or anything. Right? She's like,
hey, Chip, what's up?
She's like, yeah. And then our friend that's a Taoist, she's a doctor of Chinese medicine, talks about how Amy's vulva is an innie and mine's an outie. That's why I'm DTF.
Or
and Amy's like a Rubik's cube.
Front facer pussies
she
or
says
tucked
in
under.
Chinese medicine, that's what it is. Like you have an outie and an innie, like a belly button.
Yeah.
So some vulvas are more out facing and some are in.
Like whoa, whoa, wait, this blew my mind.
I know.
I didn't know.
Oh, really?
I'm an outie.
I'm an innie, like a tucked under. Like if you looked at me naked, you would just see like my little pubic hair bush and you could barely see labia. Whereas if I look at April naked, I can see her
labia. Because I don't have a lot of hair. Because like I just don't grow hair.
Well, and hers is also kind of up here facing me a little bit.
It's an outie.
And it's up higher.
Yeah.
Higher up here, which I think makes her more DTF and have better orgasms. Just
so
saying.
A doctor of Chinese medicine, our friend that
I have to look this up.
She said what she's an outie too. And she's like, I'm always down to fuck. And I was like, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. She relates it to Chinese medicine because that's where she practices.
No wonder
her work.
You were grinding the teddy bear. When
I was
you were
always
younger.
Grinding a teddy bear. Yeah. I would mean I could orgasm like on a teeter totter.
Yeah,
wait, I don't know if mine's an innie or an outie.
We actually have the same vagina.
I was going to say.
If you look at them, they're the exact same.
And I got laser, so I'm just completely hairless.
Sphinx, yes. I like to be a dolphin.
Oh, nice. Yeah, dolphins. You're just like the dolphin club over
there's
here.
There's nothing wrong with hair, though. I don't know. Yeah. But I've gone down on a lot of women. And now I'm like, how have I not noticed if it's an innie or an outie?
I didn't either until a little bit ago. And I shared that with her. I was like, dude, innie and outie. It makes so much sense. And she's like, you're right. And I've asked a couple of more of my vulva owning friends. I was like, so innie and outie. And then it has coincided. I mean, like I wouldn't maybe testify in a court of law on this, but I would at this point, if I need a few more people to be like innie and outie. And if it coincides with their, now granted, if they're on birth control and they're not always DTF, but I don't know. I might be onto something here.
There is a vulva in the book. Okay. So if it's an innie, what's going to look.
So the innie is more, so what the easier way to describe it,
right?
Yeah. The easier way I would describe it is it kind of hard to see the, like the inner labia and everyone's different, but the inner labia, the clitoris, is that all kind of like tucked in a little bit?
That's an innie.
That would be more an innie.
So if we were standing side by side, her and I, you would be able to see mine exposed and hers, you'd have to like get underneath her.
Okay. But even to get underneath me,
I think we're outies.
And even underneath me, my outer labia is like more puffy and kind of like encases the rest of it. You can kind of see my inner labia, whereas that's not the case for April. And so it's just much easier like, oh, there's your pussy. And for me, like, where's your pussy?
Wait, so you can't see your inner labia?
You could pretty much see the whole thing. I've seen her inner labia plenty of times.
Oh, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see all of the
labia. I think we're outies.
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 The car. Yeah.
I am always down to DTF.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is.
I bet. I mean, look,
Audi Club. You guys are all dolphins and Audis. I'm Sasquatch over here. The innie Sasquatch.
No, the blush has made a comeback. That's all you see in porn.
It's true.
Now.
Yeah. I do think I like it when they're soft.
Yeah.
I think bushes are great. I just can't grow one. I won't shave my armpits for 2 weeks and I'll have like two sprouts.
What is it? What is it when you make the merkin? I'll make you a merkin with my pubic hair.
Oh yeah, the merkin. I don't know.
He gets
a merkin.
It's a wig for your bush.
Yeah, a bush wig.
I think it was from back in the day when people had pubic lice and they had to get rid of all their pubic hair, but pubic hair was in like the Victorian era or
so
something.
So they put a wig on their bushes. Yeah. Was this during parties? Do we know why they had a merkin?
I don't know. A merkin. I'm not sure.
Have y'all been heard this term merkin? Yeah. So okay, yeah. What is that?
Yeah, we have a really good one. A group in the Bay Area of California up there. And I've been there a number of times. And they're, they're
to fun,
wild, a sex party group.
Oh, I thought you were talking about some kind of merkin.
No, I asked if y'all have been to sex parties.
Oh.
Yeah. So, cause we go through, or we go to quite a bit here in LA.
So twins going together to sex parties?
That's fun.
Yeah. We don't do, we avoid each other like the plague.
Okay.
Yeah. We do like the, you know, we'll like go in a room and be like, Nicole! And you know, if I hear anything, and if I don't, then
or
I
I'll just be like, hey, have you seen,
have you seen Cammy? And they're like, I think she's in that room. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to avoid that room.
Smart. Do you ever have anyone that comes in there and like, twins, let's do this?
Yeah, like my we're like, fantasy. No, never talk to me again. Okay. By now, all of our community knows that we don't fuck the same
people. Okay, good.
They're well versed on it too.
And then also, do you ever play mind games where you like switch roles on with people, like where you're hitting on someone, all of a sudden it's you hitting on them?
Ooh. No, because if one of us wants to hit on a guy, the other will stand the fuck down to not touch him. We call dibs.
Oh, dibs. Okay, cool.
I used to think that I would never hook up with anybody that like my besties had hooked up with. And then Amy had been hooking up with my partner before. And then she was like,
before they were together,
you should hook up with him and help you with your daddy issues. I was like, I don't need your sloppy seconds, girl. I got this dialed. And then I met him and I was like, well, I know that he's just got an STD screening because Amy got her STD checked back and she was fine. I was like, maybe I'll just.
Unless he bangs dabble. People in between.
Yeah, which could have been. But
and now, how long have y'all been together?
Like 6.5 years or something.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And y'all are monogamous?
Yeah. Right now, we are, you know what? I want to get to the point where we'd be monogamish, but like not something where I would be on my own.
Mm. Like together?
Only shared together. Experiences, yeah. Shared experiences. I'm more open to that than I have been in a long time because, know, there's like trauma in with like cheating in my relationships, like many of them. So I've had to work through that.
And not monogamy is not for everyone either.
It just, but I also, it really turns me on.
Something wrong with not wanting non-monogamy at all. So yeah.
But I get what you mean by with the trauma. Cause like, that's kind of like what I've been working through.
Okay.
In the sense of that, like I have to have a person to myself to build that foundation before we can expand.
Right. That's what I need the trust to be like the trust tree where it's like, okay, you and I, we have a, you know, like pull the ripcord if we want to go out. I don't want to be out there on my own. Like I've never been on a dating app in my life. Wow. I like to meet people like face to face. Energy is really important to me.
Yeah.
And I am definitely not just heterosexual. Like I don't just crave a D. I enjoy humans, you know, whatever genitals they have. I'm not like, oh, I'm just heterosexual, straight human. Like I don't ever identify with that. My partner is very straight. And so I think that it would probably have to be like another couple or like other vulva owning women, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise I think he would be like, maybe he'd want to tag team me with another dude, but that's a lot of work for me.
Like being tag team, though it is a lot of work,
right?
It was for your hands, especially in your mouth.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I get my lockjaw,
honestly. All of the things.
Well, my latest spank bank material has been a tag team. Which, I mean, just like with two, it's a threesome with two dudes. Basically, that's like my spank bank material as of like the last month, and it's super hot. Gives me orgasms every time I think about it.
Yeah,
and that will probably shift. But I'm like, in real life, it probably will be very different. I'll probably be turned on by it, but way more complicated. The focus on like this person and this person, and I'm sure. Like all my energy will go focus on one thing and then like the cock of my mouth I'll like probably bite them or something. So, oops, sorry.
I have ADHD. I'd be like, wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. The first threesome I ever had was with two dudes. And I just remember I was like stroking the both of them. And at one point I was like, oh, well, damn, I don't know. But like how much is he going to go?
Were your forearms locking up?
Yeah. You're like, oh, I can't get myself up.
You were ripped after, huh? You're like, oh, I'm buff.
I mean, I have good forearms. But
also,
I love the diet.
So my brother did all of the illustrations. Yeah. The only deal with him and they're like colleagues / assistant, her and him did all of the artwork. And he was like, I will do this for you. Cause he's a really talented artist. And he's like, but you have to promise me you're not sending me any images of your vulva. He's like, you could send me Amy's, but not yours. I was like, why would I ever send you a picture of my genitals? Like,
you
can
send me Amy's. That's awesome.
Of course.
He goes, like, well, you know, you want to send me Amy's.
You know, I'm going to send it to him for no reason. Yeah. Like, you said it's okay.
That's all I'm gonna
I hope you like Sasquatch.
Here's Amy's
so then picture. When I'm sending pictures of the dick too, I was like, here's, we need this picture of a penis. And he's like,
that's not your partner.
I know right? what that looks like. I was like, great, but we need it anatomically correct. You're gonna have to draw that up a little bit.
Yeah.
it was actually quite funny. And then sometimes he'd be like, I just can't. He'd say the other illustrator, she's gonna have to contact you. We don't say anyone's names usually, but his name's in the book and so is hers. So, but he was like,
thank you for doing her artwork.
I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love him, but he's my brother. And I'm like, you're so gifted. I'm sorry you have to draw genitals for your sister's book, but you know what? You did a great job.
It'd be an honor. Yeah. If someone asked me to draw genitals for their book, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I can't draw, but here you go.
Yeah. I think he learned something. He just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think honestly, like looking at this diagram, it just reminds me, you know, how much we need sexual education.
Yes. Hell yeah.
In this country.
And one thing we said about this, we were talking about this the other day about our book, like, you know, how do we feel about the book? We feel a lot of things. We're very proud of it, but it's the book that we wish we had.
Yeah.
I wish we had this. I had this when I was 14, I was 16, it's for
in 18 my 20s.
18, yeah. 30s. All ages.
That's what seriously. I'm saying. I just read How to Enter the Ass. Like, that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter what your age is, this is like something that I, you know, I have a lot of this knowledge now, but like, I really wish I had had this and in the past. And I know people who are probably 50, 60, 70, this would really benefit them too.
So. Yeah. There's no specific demographic of person that we were kind of writing this for. If you're single, if you're in a relationship, if you're in various relationship styles, if you're in various orientations, if you,
regardless of age,
if you're in a long-term monogamous relationship, if you've had kids, if you're single and old or
single and old.
I consider myself old, so don't worry. Yeah, there's just a lot. So we reference podcasts in there too, because there's so much information and people might not get everything they want from different pieces, because we didn't want to write an encyclopedia or have a weapon for a book, right? Where you're going to have to,
digestible.
So that we reference podcasts, because then you could go and see that specific podcast and listen to more if you want like expert advice. But we did consult really world-renowned experts in all sorts of different fields, doctors, therapists, sex educators, and then wove our stories in there and also used all of our knowledge from the years of sex ed certification, trainings for Amy's been in so many different trainings, so many layers from Somatica to Hakomi, and then the sex toy industry and the lube biz.
Mm-hmm. Well, because y'all have been in the sex toy industry alone, y'all have been in
since 2008. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, we have been in that one for a while.
We're grandmas in there. We're like old vets.
Yeah.
But you're old getting sex your toes vets. Sucked.
Yeah. So.
Grandma likes to get her toes sucked.
You know, queens and queens. Mm-hmm.
Well,
love
thank
it.
You guys. I am super excited to read this. If you guys want to plug where anyone can find this book. Mm-hmm. Links. Well, I mean, we'll put it in the episode description. But you know, you can find that
anywhere books are sold.
Okay,
so we do. I don't know when this episode is coming out for Double Teamed.
When do you want it?
So our book will be out November 14th. So to all those folks listening, please pre-order, because just like you were saying, Cammie, more people need this book. But when people pre-order, what happens is the more people that pre-order, that's how it gets on different lists, right? Mm-hmm. So that helps people find it where they're not just scrolling on Amazon. And so if it's like a bestseller list, that will just be like, oh, okay, wait, I want this. It's anywhere books are sold though. So you don't, if you don't want to shop on Amazon, you could go to bookshop.org. You could go to shamelesssex.com and click on the book, the actual picture of the book. And for anyone that pre-orders, Amy and I, we curated an exclusive offer for totally free. We just need proof of your book purchase. And it's a workshop that teaches you how to spice up your sex life. And
we're wearing lingerie.
It's provocative, sexy, and also really entertaining and fun, but you get good information without even
November 14th is when it comes out.
November 14th.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Episode.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So pre-order. And the other thing I wanted to add to that too, what April was saying about the list, when we, or anyone that is an author that you love or agree with or support, when they make those lists, then it gets to more people who don't have access to this kind of thing, who wouldn't normally see this in their, you know,
exactly.
in their feed.
Exactly.
So it's actually, you're helping people get more sex education by supporting us or other, you know, authors who do sex ed stuff. It's your hardcover
only, everyone. You can totally buy the Audible. We support that. But hardcover is how the lists are found. It's not through any other versions. There only is going to be a hardcover, and then there'll be the Audible version. And since this is coming out November 2nd, Instagram, we're actually, if you buy 3 plus copies, you get entered in to win over $1,000 worth of really awesome products that aren't just sex toys. Like you're talking like a Calm subscription and Cozy Earth sheets and socks and different, like a bunch of different amazing products. So you just go to Shameless Sex Podcast. That's where all of our handles are, and TikTok and Instagram and all of the things. And yeah, if you buy a book or three or six, that is six different entries for you. And we're going to sign yours and tell you how much we love you both.
Y'all are an absolute treat. We just turned 30.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. But you know, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I wonder what kind of woman I'm going to be in my 30s. This is what I want to be.
41 and 38, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's always looking good,
this
right?
This is like the blueprint. So thank you. And thank y'all for coming on our show.
I'm pretty sure we're putting this on our show too. So we'd like to have all of your handles and all this stuff in the show notes if you're listening to our show. But you're such a pleasure to work with. And we've been on a lot of shows and it just feels like the sisterhood vibe is real.
It was sad when you said it was time to go. I was like, wait, really?
Yeah, time to go.
I feel like we've just been hanging.
We'll do a part two sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're always in LA.
Not always, perfect. But
or come to, you can come see our studio in Santa Cruz and hang out with us.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not opposed at all. I've been wanting to go there.
Vacation. Yeah.
Come hang out.
Well, our handles are at Double Team Podcast.
All right.
And then, at Cami and Nikki on Instagram as well.
And then our website, doubleteampodcast.com, has all relevant
for anyone that wants to check out our stuff.
Yeah.
And we can do joined foot content.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, let's get all of our feet together.
Can you do like a thumb war with your toes?
Ooh, how about a bunch of feet and a hairy Sasquatch bush in the middle? Perfect.
I just broke my pinky toe on this foot, so let's save it for later. It would hurt.
Someone's into it.
It was the first time.
Yeah. I am.
Do you
want to
do your final?
Yeah,
Cami, you always.
Oh yes, we are condoms. Please and thank you.
Except if you have a Prince Albert piercing, then they won't work.
I still cannot believe you did that. I'd be terrified.
I want to do it.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.